Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Verse 3, "So I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, that do evil in my sight, and that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. They said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Our scripture text here, talking about the potter and the clay, it's a very familiar illustration in the life of Christians. Even this scripture is very familiar to us. And I'd like to preach on one word tonight, and that is renewed. Renewed. Amen. God renews us. He renews our strength. Amen. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord. I pray that you speak to our hearts. Pray, God, that you have your way in each and every heart here tonight. Thank you for your spirit that we've already felt here tonight. Bless us, Lord, to receive from you. Thank you for the privilege to study your word, to know your word, and hear your word, and to preach your word. We give you praise tonight, Lord. We ask that you would open our eyes. We'll behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. Every one of us, amen, must be totally surrendered to God, totally dependent upon God in our life. It doesn't matter at what stage or walk of God that we are at this present time. We can all experience exactly this scripture text in our life at any moment. Amen. The potter, amen, sees this clay and this vessel, and it is marred in his hand. And so instead of throwing the clay away, as somebody sang maybe tonight or this morning, he didn't throw the clay away. Just over and over, he molds me and makes me after his likeness. He fashions the clay. And the vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Is there anybody here tonight that feels like that you are what you are all because God didn't give up on you? Because God didn't just throw you away. Didn't just, you know, let it be what it is and let it go. But instead, he wouldn't quit trying. Like the song Brother Curtis sang, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Instead of the potter becoming frustrated, he just renews the vessel. He renewed it to another vessel as it seemed good unto the potter to make it. He renews it again. That's what God will do in our life. That's what God will do in your life. Amen. If you've made a mistake, amen. If you've fallen, if you're out, if you're down, discouraged, things are not just right in your life, out of strength, amen. God by His Spirit, God by His sovereignty. Do you notice the sovereignty of God in these scriptures? O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Could you put your name on that? O house of old Paz Tabernacle, cannot I do with you as this potter has done this clay? Go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah, he goes down there. There's the potter. He's got some clay in his hand. My, look on the shelves at all the beautiful vessels. Come in the entrance, amen, and all the things that are for sale, and all the vessels that are for sale, all the beautiful different vessels that are for sale. Big vessels, little vessels, amen. Tall vessels, short vessels, fat vessels. All these different types. And walk on back, and there he is working at the wheel. Passing all these, the handiwork, all these vessels of honor, hallelujah. Meet for the master's use is what the Bible says that he would make us. Sanctified meat for the master's use. What would you like to buy, Jeremiah? Which one do you need today? What would you like to buy? I'm sure if there's anything like today, and mankind's always been the same, there's even scriptures in the Bible that talks about trading and dealing. The Bible talks about how that, you know, different principles and things, and it's the same way, but I'm sure, you know, when he came, surely Jeremiah wants to buy some vessels. No, he's not come to buy a vessel. He's come to hear the word of the Lord. He said, go down there and I will cause thee to hear my words right there. And so he passes by, you know, like Cracker Barrel. Would like to go out there and eat at Cracker Barrel. And they've got all those things for sale before you can get back there and eat in the restaurant. You know, you'd think and quickly go out, but it's not going to happen. For sure with your wife. And so finally he gets past all the salesmen. He gets past all of the, you know, offers. And he goes back. He said, I came to see him work. He said he wrought a work on the wheels. You know, God wants to work in our lives. Do we let him work? Do we stop him from working in our lives? Do we hinder him from what he wants to do in our lives? Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, amen, how that God wants to work in our lives, but we cannot stop him. Can the clay say to the potter, amen? Actually, Romans chapter 9, he said, why, you know, who hath resisted his will, talking about God? But nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing that formed say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God made us exactly how He wanted us. I mean, people, boys are wanting to be girls. Girls are wanting to be boys. Amen? You know, people that have no hair want hair. People that have hair don't want no hair. People that have curly hair want straight hair. People with straight hair want curly hair. I mean, you know, they've got tanning beds where people want to get darker. And, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. But, you know, God made us the way we are. If God made you a girl, you'll always be a girl. God made you a man, you'll always be a man. And no matter what surgery or whatever takes place. Said, why have you made me thus? You know, and I think you can, you know, better yourself in some ways or something, you know. Maybe like somebody has buck teeth and puts some braces on or something like that. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Things like that. But, I mean, you can become so vain in trying to become something you're not. I mean, the industry of makeup and adorning yourself and changing yourself and all these things. And it's so vain. It creates such a vanity in a person because we want to change ourselves. We don't like who we are. But I believe that God wants to give us an experience in Him that causes us to love who God has made us. Sin will make you hate who you are. But you get right with God, you'll love who God has made you. Amen. But He said, can the thing that formed it say to who? The thing that is formed say to Him, why have you made me thus? Why did you make me like I am? Why did you make me who I am? God made every one of us exactly who we are on purpose. Amen. He made us and put us in the place where He put us on purpose for His glory. And nobody's alike. No, your fingerprints. Nobody has the same fingerprints. Nobody has the same DNA. Isn't that something? How God is so mighty, He can do that, make every individual, amen, special in His own way. Amen. I mean, you know, talking about, you know, we've got, amen, Victoria and Blake that God's blessed us with, and, you know, they're not our biological children. And so they're different. That's talking about how, you know, us, me and Sister Bethany talking about how that they was different. I got to thinking, well, our biological children are different. Every one of them is different from the other. I mean, you know, right out of the same oven. You know what I'm saying? You picking it up? God makes everybody different. Everybody different. I mean, it doesn't matter if those children are adopted or not. It wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter who, what. Nobody is alike. All our three children, our biological children, every one of them is totally different. Somebody said something one time, you know, talking about how that there's generational curses, and there are. You know, these children that I've taken in, I pray over them. But I'm going to tell you what scares me worse than the children I've taken in is the ones that came from me. Y'all chew on that a little while. It's easy to blame now. I can always blame them, but what am I going to do about my own? Come on now. Amen. That scares me worse than anything. Ain't that right, Brother Blake? But God made every one of us special and on purpose. God don't make no junk. Who is it says that? Sister Honey? All right. God don't make no junk. Hath the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willing, amen, to show his wrath, to make power known, endured much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath before prepared unto glory? What is he saying in Romans? He's saying just what brother testified. God could have passed me up. He's writing to the Romans and he's saying, you're getting all puffed up, amen, because God's a moving in your life and he's turned his back on the Jews. He said at any moment God could turn back to them, and he said it's his mercy that he saved us. Do we feel that way? I don't deserve the mercy and love of God. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to have him. Many people push away the mercy of God, push away the dealings of the Holy Ghost, as Brittany testified a little while ago, amen, push it away like it's something small. Amen, you can't come to God whenever you want to. He has to deal with you. We got to be careful pushing away the dealing of the Lord, because he may never deal with us again. But he makes every one of us. He wrought a work on the wheel. He came down to the potter's house. And man, I feel like I'm getting settled in here and I might preach a long time. Y'all help me. I don't want to do that tonight. But he wrought a work on the wheels. Behold his work in our life. Did you notice how he says right there, he wrought a work on the wheels. God made every one of us, amen, exactly how he pleases and how he wants to. He don't make someone special and someone unspecial. It doesn't matter our race, creed, amen, color, our, you know, social status, how much money we have. God doesn't look at our bank accounts when he calls us to salvation. Ain't you glad for that? He doesn't look who our parents was. He doesn't look who we are or who we ain't or this, that, or the other. No, he just wants some clay that'll be so, amen, flexible in his hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So adjustable in his hands. What are you saying? He wrought a work on the wheels. Amen. He's got the wheel going around and round. And right there in the potter's hand is a piece of clay. Oh, it don't look good right now, Jeremiah. Oh, it's just an old lump of clay. You ever feel that way? Amen, I'm just an old lump of clay. It seems like nothing goes right. It seems like everything goes wrong. Does the devil ever tell you that? Amen, nothing ever goes right in your life. You're just a loser. You're just nothing. Amen, but as long as you're in the potter's hands, he has a master plan and he will work it out for his glory. The Bible says in verse 3, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work. Can somebody say work? He's working on the clay. He's working on me. The little kids, I could give these children the microphone tonight and they could sing a great principle that all of us need to learn. He's still working on me. Amen. To make me what I ought to be. Sister Bethany said a while ago, it took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. He created all the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Hallelujah. He didn't even have to work overtime on the weekend. You ever started a project and get it done on time? Anybody in here? Not me. He got it done right when he wanted to get done and rested. Amen. But the song said it only took him a week to make all the world, but he's still working on me. Thank God the clay's in the potter's hand. The Bible said we're saved, amen, by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is nothing more than the mighty grace of God in his hands. Say, I'm going to run real fast tonight. I'm going to jump real high.
high tonight. Amen. I'm going to pray real loud tonight. I'm going to lay out real long. I'm going to do all this. It's not of works. Amen. It just matters how much yielded we are to God. It matters how much yielded we are to His hands. Amen. The Bible said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. He's working on us. Hallelujah. He's still working on you. Amen. Sometimes it might be a little hard. Sometimes it might be a little harsh. Amen. But oh, how tender the potter's hands are with that clay. Oh, how special, amen, the potter's hands are with that clay. And it's the same way in our life. Many times we want to buck. Amen. Seems like somebody else said complain. Amen. Y'all shouldn't testify before I preach. And I wouldn't use everything you say against you. Maybe we ought to start telling them before they testify. Everything you say can and will be held against you. Amen. But regardless of whatever it is, amen, we complain, we moan, and we groan. But the whole time it's just the potter that is working on our life, saying, I want to mold you into my image. I want to make you what I want you to be. Ain't it wonderful that God Almighty can make us what He wants us to be, not what we want to be? Where would you be tonight if in the beginning God had let you always choose what you was going to be? What would you be? Sister Tanya, what would you be? Some, you know, some basketball star or something probably? What would you be, Jody? Football star or something? Baseball? Oh, come on, church. You know, where would you be? You know those plans don't ever work out. I remember a young man that was a close friend of mine years ago. And we went to youth camp, Clinton. We went to youth camp. Man, that old boy got full of God. I'm talking about he'd come to church. He got full of God at that camp. God touched him. You know, you can't do that to somebody. Just like Sister Bethany's saying, you can't reach down and touch. I don't care how much you want to. You can't touch their soul and their heart. You can influence them, but you're so limited. You cannot. I can't save nobody. Nobody. I can preach the gospel. I can tell them they're going to hell. I can promise them heaven. I can read them the Bible, all 66 books, frontwards, backwards, and everything. But unless God touches a life, all my labor is in vain. That old boy got filled with the Holy Ghost. He had went a couple years. Sister Jana might remember that boy, Damien. I don't know. You know, I remember this was years ago. We went to youth camp. He come home. But he was one of them. When he walked in, you could see he was totally different. God had touched him in such a way, soon as they saw him, they saw something was different. He come in, he didn't care nothing about the football, he didn't care nothing about the baseball, he didn't care nothing about, all he wanted to do is go to his room and pray and read his Bible. Mama said, man, what's wrong with you, boy? He tried to tell her. He'd try to cry and tell her. I mean, he'd come to church and seek God and pray. But, oh, man, that messed Mama up. He started condemning her. You know, she wasn't living all right and everything like that. I'm going to tell you something, parents. Amen. Sometimes, you know, children might get on fire for God. Amen. And it might, you know, condemn you just a little bit. That's all right. Push them on. Amen. I'm telling you what. I don't ever want to hold them back. I said, I don't ever want to hold them back. I don't ever want to be a part of the crowd or the type that says, you're not going to outshine me. There's a lot of people that have lost their youth because they're afraid they're going to outshine them. Amen. The next generation, when it comes to time to pass that baton, when it comes time to pass it on, sometimes they're running a little faster than us, Brother Curtis. And sometimes they might outrun us a little. When they would pass that baton, they would run side by side for a while and run holding that, when they would pass that Amen. And they would run on in those Roman races. They had to carry that torch all the way to the end. And whoever got there first won. And they would run a while, and then someone else would come in. They're rested up and they're ready to go. But they would run side by side for a while. And sometimes you're all worn out. Come on, church. Go to pass that baton on down to the next generation or somebody else. Amen. Go to take the church or take your ministry or take your Sunday school class or something. I mean, they might be so energetic, they just take off a little ways and outrun you. But don't slow them down. I said, don't slow them down. I remember that boy got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, his mom and dad, it didn't take them very many weeks to realize, amen, this boy was going to turn out to be a preacher or something. Amen. And you know, whatever happened, they promised him the world and everything in it and all these football stars and everything that he was going to become and all this. And slowly but surely, they snuffed out the fire in his soul. Amen. He's lived a dog's life in it. Out of jail and prison. I mean, you talking about one thing after another has happened in his life. Who knows where he's at now? Amen. The last I heard of him, amen, he had a wreck. He was so drunk. He didn't come to the hospital. Amen. He got to asking, where's my boy? They said, what boy? He said, my son was in the car. They went out there. They had already towed the vehicle. And his boy had sailed out the window and was laying dead in the tall grass and nobody even knew. He is so drunk and so out of it. But he used to shout under the Holy Ghost power. Amen. At youth camp. Amen. But somebody thought they had a better plan than God. I want you to know nobody's got a better plan than God, young person. Not mama, not daddy, not the preacher. Amen. God's plan is perfect. God's plan is best. And Jeremiah said in there, and here's this old dirty lump of clay in the potter's hand. Amen. The potter's got a plan. Amen. Do you know that you might be an old dirty lump of clay? Amen. But the potter has a plan. Can I get a witness tonight? Does anybody feel what I'm preaching? I want to tell you, young people, I'm preaching on renewed tonight. Amen. There he is down at the potter's house. And there he sees the potter working a work with his hands. Let me just throw this in right here. God created the whole world, young people, with his mouth. He spoke the world into existence with his mouth, with his word. There's a whole message in that. But when it comes to human, man, God come down and formed man with his own hands. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, when it come to human beings, God came down and he formed man with his own hands. Hallelujah. And when God was going to make the woman, he caused Adam to go into deep sleep. Hallelujah. And he took his own hands. You talking about the first surgeon. The first surgery. Hallelujah. God took Adam, amen, and cut his rib right there wide open. And he took a rib out. And with that very rib is where he made the woman. Hallelujah. Right close to your heart. He didn't take it out of the foot so you could walk on her. Amen. He didn't take it, amen, out of the head. He took it right there close to the heart. And let me just throw this in for all them out there that are changing. Amen. Changing who they are. They're sex, going from male to female or female to male. You know that man has one more rib than the woman? Somebody go tell them. You need to add a rib if they're going to be a man. That's why you kids, I'm counting y'all's ribs all the time. Somebody to tell them doctors when they're doing them transgender, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. We live in a sick world. I said, we live in a crazy world. Who ever heard? Can you imagine telling your grandpa and grandma that kind of stuff? That they're actually going and paying, having surgery to become the opposite sex? And they'd look at you like, you know, what in the world? But it's going on. But somebody needs to tell them, hey man, that they got to move a rib out of those boys if they're going to make them real girls. Because the man's got one more rib than the woman. But God makes us with His own hands. The tenderness in our life. The tenderness in your life. I know sometimes it don't seem like He's very tender. I know sometimes it seems like it's hard. I know sometimes it seems like it's so rough. But the potter, oh how special those vessels are. He made them with His own hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. The Bible said the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. There's sometimes, Haman, I don't understand. How many times do we get there and we get so frustrated with ourselves? We make mistakes. We mess up. We do wrong. Amen. But as long as we can stay in the potter's hand, I'm preaching tonight on renewed, and I'm trying to hurry. Amen. The Bible said that the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. He wasn't marred on the outside of the potter's house. He was marred right on the inside of the potter's house. Let me tell you something. When they make that clay, and I don't know too much about this, I've just read and studied on it. But if there's a bad piece in that clay, they'll find a bad piece of that clay and the potter will fill it with his hand. And the potter knows that if he leaves that in that vessel as he's making it, if he leaves it and let it dry, that vessel is useless. Amen? That's why God has to root out that bitterness in our heart. That's why God has to take that unforgiveness out of our heart. That's why God has to take that lust out of us. That's why God has to take that pride out of us. Why does God just keep holding me over on myself and starting over again? Because He's got to get what will destroy us out of our life. Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. He's got to get it out of our life or it'll mess us up once and for all and we'll be useless. But He don't throw the lump of clay away. He just starts all over again. I'm so glad that He don't throw us away. I'm so glad that He don't cast us aside. Amen. The Apostle Paul writing to the Philippians, and he tells them, he said, I don't think that I've already attained. Either were I already perfect. Amen. He's saying, I'm not there yet, but I'm doing the best I can. Is there anybody here tonight? Amen. You've been frustrated with yourself. You've been frustrated with your decisions. Amen. Oh, why? I thought I had prayed that through. Come on, somebody. I thought I'd got victory over that. Amen. But there it is again. Amen. He said, not that I've already attained. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of. He's saying, if I can just get a hold of what has got a hold of me. I want to tell you, there's a job in my prayer. Amen. It's been there for several months. Amen. There's a drive that's driving me. The Lord knows all about it. And that is this right here. I know that there's more. I know that there's greater. I know that there's better. I know God can do it. And it's driving me. It's got a hold of me. But I realize this afternoon, it's time for me to get a hold of what's got a hold of me. I said it's time for me, amen, to go on and get a hold of what has got a hold of me. He said, amen, I'm there. It's not that I've attained, but I'm following after. I want to tell you something, church. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Hallelujah. Does anybody else feel that way? You might not have got your prayers answered, but you believe He's going to answer them. You might not have won it yet, but you believe it's going to happen. Let's lift our hands and ask the Lord to help us. So here we are at the potter's house, and all of a sudden something happens unexpectedly. Instead of everything just going so smoothly, actually, it messes up. Y'all still with me tonight? Hallelujah. We might need to take an intermission tonight. Instead of everything going just the way we thought it would go, it goes the opposite. It messes up. Has anybody ever experienced that in your life? In your plans? Instead of it going the way you thought and was assured it would go, it actually is completely reversed. And so here stands Jeremiah watching this amazing work come out of this clay, and all of a sudden the potter, in his infinite wisdom and knowing what only he knows, come on church, Jeremiah didn't feel that little piece in that clay, but in watching what he sees, all of a sudden the wheel stops. It comes to a screeching halt, and the potter starts over again. Oh God, I'm preaching on renewed tonight. Hallelujah. Does anybody need to be renewed? Hallelujah. You see, the renewing process doesn't start when everybody knows what's wrong. The renewing process, hallelujah, starts when only God knows what's wrong. That's why it's so hard to take so many times. Wait a minute, God! Everything was just fine. Why are we going through this again? Yeah. Wait a minute, God! I thought everything was a green light. Wait a minute, God! I thought I had crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's. Wait a minute, Lord! Hey, everything was cruising just fine. But the potter knows why the wheel has stopped. The potter knows why he's folded it over again. We may not understand. We may not always know. We might be sitting here saying, why? Amen. But the potter is wanting to renew this clay. Amen. And the Apostle Paul says, amen, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. God has a perfect plan. Amen. I don't always do this, but why don't you turn to somebody close to you and say, God has a perfect plan. Hallelujah. When your wheel comes to a screeching halt, when you receive the bad news, when it don't work out the way we thought it should, amen, you get this picture. Here's this old weeping prophet. Amen. Here's the preacher Jeremiah standing down there at the potter's house, and he's standing there watching everything's going fine the way he's doing it. Amen. The way he sees it, there ain't no problem. Amen. Everything's just fine. But all of a sudden, the potter knows something Jeremiah don't know. The potter knows something the clay don't know. And let me tell you something, friend. God knows something I don't know. God knows something you don't know. Amen. Maybe we should say God knows something, amen, that we don't know. Amen. And he, in all of his power, in all of his glory, he makes the choice. I would rather renew this vessel. I would rather renew this vessel than take a chance of it being worthless. I would rather start over again and lose an hour of work and lose a year of time. Amen. Do you ever feel like you've lost a year of time? Do you ever feel like you've lost an hour of work? Amen. But it's not in vain, because God, amen, is renewing our lives to perfection. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm preaching tonight on renewed. All of a sudden, Jeremiah sees what seems like a waste of time and energy. Why did God do all that He did to do nothing but start over again? Hallelujah. Why did this take place? Hallelujah. Gonna fix that for me, baby. Come on, I'm looking bad. Fix it for me. Thank you, Jesus. Touch her, Lord, I pray. Touch my daughter, Lord. In the name of Jesus tonight, Lord.
The vessel. You laugh, I'll pray for you next. Thank you, Jesus. God decides, I would rather start all over again than take a chance of this vessel ending up in the trash can. And God would rather slow you down and stop what you're doing and cause you to face some trials and cause you to be broke and cause you to cry some tears and cause a few bad things to happen in your life. So we think, amen, than taking the chance of you being in the trash can or the trash pile. Because once that clay dries, amen, it's non-worthless. It's so worthless. Amen. It has to be broken and completely crushed down to powder. Amen. It's a whole new process. Amen. But while that clay is still in the molding opportunity, while that clay, amen, still has some yield. Hey, did you hear that? God saw some yield in you. I said, God saw some yield in you. He saw some presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He said, I see some yield in this clay, and instead of letting it go so far, amen, that it has to be thrown in the trash, instead I'm going to renew it today. I'm going to renew it right now. And that's when the word comes to the preacher, and he says, go tell that house of Israel. Amen, go tell them. Amen, I can do the same thing to you. Amen, I can do the same thing in your life. You might think it's hopeless. You might think there's no way. Amen, but I am the potter and you are the clay. Yeah.
Renewed. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conform to the world. You know, there's a thermostat back there on that wall. Y'all might not can believe that, but there is. That thermostat is set to change the temperature in its surroundings. There's also a thermometer back there. And the thermostat changes its surroundings. But the thermometer, listen to me, young people, changes with its surroundings. When it gets hot, the thermostat goes up. When it gets cold, the thermostat goes down. And that's the way some people's lives are. It depends on what atmosphere they're in, if they're hot or cold. It depends on who they're around, if they're on fire. Y'all going to help me tonight? But the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not God's will for us to fit in every crowd. I said, it's not God's will, young ladies, for you to fit in every crowd. Ain't God's will for you to fit in the worldly crowd at all. But instead, God make us a thermostat instead of changing with our surroundings. God, help us to do what we can to change our surroundings. Hallelujah. Making a difference. Amen. Being what we can be. Amen. By the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. God's will for your life. God's plan for your life. Amen. That's why he has you on the potter's wheel. Is he has a plan. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a calling. He has a fulfillment. Amen. He has a work. He has a job. Amen. And I don't know what it is, but I'm standing here in the potter's house and I see some clay on the wheels. Amen. And the clay don't understand. Amen. But God knows. He sees and he understands, and he has a perfect plan. Renewed. Renewed. God created us as creatures of habit. Many of us will go to a restaurant and order the same thing. I'm coming to a close. Sister Bethany, you can come to the piano. We order the same thing. Can you imagine going in your restaurant, wherever it is, you know, Outback Steakhouse, McDonald's, wherever it is. Sometimes you can go in there, you've been in there so much, they'll say, do you want such and such? You know, I know we don't live in real small town, but it can happen. You know, maybe not in Longview, but you'd be going there a lot. But can you imagine that waitress said, oh, I know what you want. Oh, yeah, bring me the same thing. She comes out with a plate. She says, actually, you liked it so much last week. This is the same pot. We saved it from last week. We put it out on the back porch, and it's the same pot you ate last week. We want the same food and same flavor, but we want it cooked new. Right?
Amen.
It's the same way in God. He renews us. But it's brand new. It's just like I had it the first time. Hallelujah. This renewing never gets old. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. In Titus he said, but washing, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I remember when I received the Holy Ghost, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I remember God touched me in such a way, how could I ever forget it? Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I remember going to camps and youth camps and revival services, growing up in my older teenage years, where it seemed like I got it better again. Hallelujah. Like, I mean, it was actually better. Hallelujah. It was a refilling. But it was like it was better, Sister Bob. Hallelujah. I know I was preaching about that last Sunday night, about that again experience. That refilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help us tonight, Lord. Help us, Jesus. I'd like for us to pull our minds together. Amen. Right here just a moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wasn't very long ago we came over here and prayed. Sister Janice, we came over, you know, come over here to the church and prayed. I mean, just us. I remember I was kneeling down right over here praying. Sister Bethany, maybe we're walking around. Nobody else in here, you know, walking around. And I was just a praying. Sister Bethany, come over here. Y'all think she just does it to you, but she got a hold of my head, got to praying for me, and the Lord refilled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I don't know, just a few weeks ago or sometime back, sitting right over here. And I'm saying that to say I got such a blessing right now, nobody is in here. I think it was better than the first time. Hallelujah. That's the way His renewing is. That's the way His refilling is.
It's like it's better than it was. Tell them, Jeremiah, tell them. I can do with you just like that potter. I can mold you over again. You're here tonight and you made mistakes. You're here tonight and you're frustrated with your Christian walk with God. You're here tonight and you're dry. You're here tonight and you're lonely. You're here tonight and you're afraid. You're here tonight and there's all these things going on in your life. Oh, you're on the potter's wheel. God, help us tonight. Stand together with me. Hallelujah. The glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for us to find us a place in these altars and pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.